Welcome to Vegas Ringside Rundown, hosted by Jim and Ron. Let's lace up and hit the ice. This is Vegas Ringside Rundown.
Wow, you hear that? A little tap of the stick at the beginning of our new intro. Are you kidding me? We are back. Vegas Ringside Rundown. I'm here with Jim.
What's up, Ron?
And we had a great week. The weekend was pretty amazing. We were able to get the Masterclass series started with Wally.
A lot of huge feedback on that. Everybody really enjoyed Wally's interview there. He's being a little coy and shy about it, but heard some teams are actually making it mandatory to listen from all the advice he gave to young players.
Oh,
hopefully it keeps going off. That's going to be up for forever, so anybody can listen to that at any time.
Yeah,
like I said, big feedback. Everybody loves it. So
no,
thanks,
that,
Wally.
Yeah, thank you, Wally. Like I said in the podcast, you're more than welcome to come on at any time. So, yeah, I decided to do the Masterclass series, or Coaches Masterclass, really, and just getting those coaches. I know when talking with Wally, we're going to work on getting a ref coming on to onto the podcast.
Right.
We're also going to get a few more head coaches to come on to the podcast. Matt Johnson, obviously.
Matt's going to come on. I did talk to Dustin last night, Dustin Coldren, the head coach of the 13 AAA. Itching to get on. He's my buddy. I did coach
Let's
with him.
Let's do it.
He's very much enjoying the pod, and he wants to get on. So, Dustin, I know you're listening. We're coming, buddy.
All right. For full disclosure today, we are headed, I at least am. Jim has to stay back and serve the cocktails, of course,
I
my
do,
friend,
yeah.
Right?
Got to pay for this road trip.
We're heading out to Boston. The 15 AAA team is heading all the way out to the Beantown Classic. I believe we're going to be playing out of the Marble Rink.
We are all games in the Marble Rink.
Okay.
Fantastic 8 sheets, mall, all kinds of good stuff there. So you've never been there, I take it?
No, never been.
You're going to love it.
I heard, though, and I looked into it. It looks pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go back to that whole rink in Blaine, Minnesota. It's called Super Rink.
It has
8 sheets. And I get a kick out of it because I'm thinking to myself, look at all these sheets of ice. There's 8 in Blaine. Okay, there's 8 in Marlboro.
Right.
8 alone is more than what we have here in Vegas.
It's crazy,
in
right?
One place.
In one place. And that's, you know, in Boston and in Minnesota, there's probably 100 other rinks other than those two massive rinks. So,
yeah.
You know, that just shows you, like, we're still a baby hockey town, kind of. But
we are.
We're getting there.
We are getting there. Again, if you guys are interested in coming onto the podcast or having a little segment put in, especially across the ice, like if you have some video, please send it our way. Actually, as a matter of fact, the video that I received last week, that was in last week's podcast, yep. We're going to make sure we get that posted up on X. So follow us on X at Vegas Ringside Rundown, I believe it is, yep. On X. We want to get and start growing the X community. Obviously, we have Instagram, which I'll be posting some shots of the rink and stuff this weekend. I guess the kids call it shorts instead, you know, little mini clips.
Little shorts, yeah. These kids these days.
It's crazy, right? Crazy. Other than that, we've got a lot. We got a little bit to talk about this week. A little bit shorter podcast today, as obviously we had mentioned right off the rip that we are going to we're going to Boston. I don't care. Your kid is going to Boston. My kid's going to Boston. There's a bunch of kids going to Boston. So that's where we're going. But we do want to get into our segment, though. We do have some scores
from the weekend. Not too much this weekend. Seemed like a light weekend on hockey, and I'm sure there was some teams out there playing that we did not get their scores. Need to hit us up, VegasRinkside.com.
Especially if you want to be on this segment.
And now it's time for Across the Ice. We're taking a tour to the latest scores and standout moments from travel teams, high school squads, and college hockey programs. Whether it's a local showdown or action from across the country, we've got all the highlights covered. Let's see who's lighting up the scoreboard this week.
There you go. Across the Ice. We're back with Jim. He's going to give us some info.
All right, we're going to go out to Utica, New York with the Las Vegas Ice Warriors 16U-A team. Don't have scores, but do have results. 4-0 out there. So Warriors going out to Utica, kind of a boring place. I don't know if you've ever been outside of Syracuse.
No.
I did talk to one of the players who's a friend of Gavin, my son's. He was out there. He said it was not a lot to do out there, but a really good weekend for those guys out there, 4-0. Did hear about a little incident. Like I said, this is coming from a 15-year-old player. So
yeah.
Apparently there was an injury during the game. One of the players on the other team came across the middle with their head down, which you don't do.
No.
If you're listening out there, keep your head up. Don't even cut the middle, first of all. But if you do, make sure your head's up. Did unfortunately suffer a broken leg on the play.
Ouch.
Yeah, and there was some fan-parent activity up in the stands from that. From what I heard, no penalty called. Clean hit.
Yeah.
Just unfortunately, a little bit of leg to hip, I guess, where, you know, you're going to have injuries in hockey. But from what I hear, one of the parents on the other team was making it difficult for medical personnel to even get on the ice.
Oh, come on.
True, from what I hear, both teams went to the locker room while, unfortunately, this player was on the ice suffering.
Was that one of our players? Was it a Vegas kid?
No, it was whoever they were playing against. Like I said, I could not find any scores on that.
Okay.
Clayton, being a 15-year-old hockey player, didn't remember the name of the team and everything like that. But, you know, a very unfortunate thing where apparently it was 25 to 30 minutes before they could even get this player off the ice. And, you know, just a tough situation out there. You know, it was an upset parent. Don't know if it was the parent of the kid that was hurt, but
yeah.
In a situation like that, I just got to say, leave the refs alone and let the medical personnel take care of that. You're just making a kid suffer out there for no reason. So a little bit of bad behavior out there from what I hear. Like I said, this is secondhand information from a player, but, you know, moving on that, it is what it is. Behave, parents.
You know what? I'm going to cut that little statement. You remember with Wally, right? He was talking about parents and all that. And you're like, parents, behave. I'm cutting that one, and I'm going to cut that thank you from that.
From Tessa.
Yeah. Thank you.
She came up and said thank you to me last night in the same way. She's like, hey, Jim, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. There is a time and a place for a lot of these things.
Right.
And obviously when there was an injured kid on the ice, definitely not.
Definitely let the people do their job. Apparently, like, the rink, no security there, no medical personnel, so you're gonna catch that sometimes.
And is it that, like, I've never been to Utica, but is it that, like, farmish, like, is it kind of like middle of nowhere
outside of Syracuse, kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, and Utica's like a sub of Syracuse, so, you know, whatever. It's a good hockey town, you know, lots of kids playing out there.
Okay.
In upstate New York. So either way, moving on to Silver Sticks girls, Silver Sticks out in Colorado. Two in the 12U-A division, a couple of Vegas teams out there. You have the Las Vegas Junior Golden Knights 12U-A team. Let's see here. We got a 3-3 tie versus Mountain Select. 3-2 loss to the Lady Rough Riders out of Colorado. 3-2 loss to Arapo Lady Warriors, another Colorado team. And then a 3-0 win versus Southern Colorado Hockey. So a 2-2 weekend out there. Not bad for the girls out there from the Junior Golden Knights. In that same division, Storm 12U-A girls, they had a really nice weekend. 4-3 win against those Lady Rough Riders. 5-0 versus the Colorado 14ers. 14ers. Interesting name. 12-year-olds that are called 14ers. Okay, I don't understand that one, but moving on. 4-3 win against Southern Colorado Hockey and a 5-3 win against Mountain Select. So 4-0 in the round robin. Unfortunately, a rematch with the Lady Rough Riders did go down 6-1. But all in all, great showing from the Storm girls out there to go undefeated in the round robin and get themselves all the way to the semifinals out there. Silver Sticks is really good competition, so had to be a fun trip out to Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Where were they playing? Do we know where they were playing out of?
Do not, unfortunately.
That's fine. There's tons and tons of rinks out there. But
everything in Colorado. It just says Western Girls Regional in Colorado. So, unfortunately, don't have where that is. But
now, you know, when you said the 14ers, this is a 12U team?
12U team.
So, it should be pre-teeners.
not teeners, yeah. Well, what not do they call those kids that are halfway between toddlers and teens? I don't know. That's pretty funny.
It's either preteeners or not teeners. Right. Nevertheless, not the 14ers. But
14ers.
I think it's pretty cool, though. Kind of a play on the, like, maybe the 49ers, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of that.
I don't know what it has to do with 14 in Colorado, but either way. So moving on, 19 new girls out there as well. A 2-2 weekend. 11-0 win versus the Colorado Rough Riders. A 5-0 loss to Mountain Select, 7-2 loss to Team Wyoming, and then a 2-1 win versus the Colorado 14ers.
Wow.
Did not make the semifinals, lost on a goal differential. Did happen to catch up with Matt Coles, the assistant on that team, and he was telling me that the 7-2 loss to Team Wyoming kind of just team fell apart a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it does happen. And he did tell me the 5-0 loss to Mountain Select. He was telling me, now, this is a 19U team, right? All the girls, 18 and 19 years old, okay? Mature, bigger girls, not, you know,
yeah,
stronger, bigger than
yeah.
our team. So on the 19U Vegas team, and I believe we said this before, they have, I believe, 4 15-year-olds. And our friend Tessa is 14 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing against, you know, 4 years
older
up in competition,
yeah.
you know, it'd be like playing 10 U's playing 14 U's. So you can imagine the difference in that kind of game.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough to, you know, play in that situation against older kids like that. But the good thing is having 5, 6 girls at 14, 15, 16 years old, this is a 19U team. We're going to talk about staying together for 2 or 3 years
down the
line. So they're, you know, they're doing well as it is, probably going to be a powerhouse in a couple years. So
now, when you were going over the scores, they won, or did they win all four? Did they lose?
They went 2-2 and did not make the semis because of goal differential. That even though they did score 11 one game, said lost out by a goal.
So it sounds like that's their first two losses then. Weren't they like 9-0?
They were 9-0-1. Yeah. So these are their first two losses on the year. Like I said, when you're going out to the Silver Sticks, you're catching the best teams in Colorado and stuff like that. So, you know, Matt was a little disappointed with the weekend, not with the effort. The girls had a really good effort. But, you know, not to make excuses, but like I said, the Mountain Selects team was all 18 and 19-year-olds. And the Team Wyoming team, he said they were mostly older girls, too, and they felt that's a game they could have won, maybe just didn't get up for it. And that does happen. So they've actually put in a lot of hockey, these 19U girls, so far this year. So you're a lot of stinker every now and again, I suppose, right?
Well, I mean, you can't win them all.
No, you can't.
Right?
Just hope to win some, right?
Just, well, you know, I was thinking
win
about
more
the
than you lose.
Well, like, I was thinking about the questions I'd asked Wally, you know. I'm like, "Oh, you know, you're probably not that focused on wins," but then I'm thinking to myself after that, I'm like,
"Yeah, he is.
Of course he wants to win. Of course he wants to put his team in the position to win." Mm-hmm. But he also has to evaluate that team to make sure that they can win, or if they're close. Like, he made a good point. You know, they played some really good teams out in Detroit. Mm-hmm. You know, some powerhouse teams in that sense, and they only lost by one, and that's a win.
Sure.
You know, in as far as just losing by one.
Sure. Even this early on in the season, like this, you're not really worried about. You know, obviously, you want to win every game you played, but you know, when you're building towards a goal. So you want to be playing your best at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever chaos happens in the beginning, you're setting your systems up and everything like that. Your goal is to be good at the end of the year. I can say last year, coaching with Coach Dustin, our goal was to improve over the course of the year. Now, you can attest, being a dad on the Storm team there, in the beginning of the year, even as you guys were suffering injuries, you were a much better team than us. Working systems, getting the kids to play together. Maybe not much better, but a little bit better.
Yeah.
Towards the end, when we did meet for the state championship, it was pretty even, I would say.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't in the beginning of the year, I don't think. So, you know, you work your systems, you work chemistry and all that to focus on your goal, which is to be as good as you can at the end of the year, because that's when your states are, your nationals, your Silver Stick finals, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, and you're hearing it from Jim, who was on the bench for that team. So it's not like,
screaming,
you know,
he is
a father, right? He's one of the two pucking dads on this podcast, but he's also a, you know, assistant coach. Have you done head coaching?
I have.
Okay, so he's done head coaching, assistant coaching. I've done coaching, but oh no, it's house league.
And that doesn't matter. Coaching is coaching.
I was always assistant to Nathan Scully.
Okay.
But I will tell you this. I will tell you this, though. We implemented F1, F2, F3. Mm-hmm. You know, kids that have no clue, took them off ice, trained where they'd be, how to win face-offs, like things sure. that you see that you're like, okay, these kids need to know a lot sooner than now. You know what I mean?
Their base, yeah. So you're working on the base at the house league and, you know, giving them a structure, because even in the house league, like I said, this is where you get travel players, is from the house league. So you're going to build your base on that, you know. Yeah. And house league coaches, to me, are just as important as travel coaches. You're not getting compensated as much, obviously. Usually some dads. But
you get, the compensation. And I didn't have a kid on the team.
Oh, okay, great.
So I had no skin in the game as right. when it comes to kids. But you could, as a father, have, I don't know what their discounts are, but there is a discount of having, and you get your kid and that kind of thing, which is nice.
Right.
But sometimes kids don't want to be coached by their father. They're already being yelled at by their father.
Right. Yeah. I grew up playing for my father for like 7 years until I got to midget hockey. It's a very, it's a strange dynamic, because your dad's yelling at you, but he's not your dad at that point. He's your coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't like affect our relationship at all. Love my father, still do, always will. But it's a very different dynamic, which I've, having Gavin being on the bench for his teams for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting dynamic. Luckily, when I've been coaching the last few years, I took care of the defense. So, you know, he's a forward. Yeah. So I took care of the defense. So I didn't really, I trust the coaches that he's had. So I put them into their hands, Coach Ryan, sure. Coach Dustin, Coach Harrison, all these guys. While I took care of the defense, I did run penalty kill on every team. Gavin's always been a penalty killer.
Yeah.
Usually PK1 out there. So that was, it's interesting, don't want to yell at him or anything like that, because mm-hmm. don't want it to be, him to be butthurt when we get home about it. But, and sorry, shouldn't have said that.
No, it's fine.
In Gavin's defense, he always took what I said as a coach and not as a dad. And when we get off the ice, we're not coach and dad. We'll talk about hockey. If he's got questions about, the penalty kill, this, that, whatever it may be, sure, I'll answer him, but I'm not one to step on any coach's toes,
That leads me into the next question, which I appreciate you bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, as a parent, do you think it's appropriate to talk hockey after a big win or a big loss? Like, we're talking literally right after the game, let's say on the drive home. Is that a conversation that, as a parent, you really want to even start? Or what's your thoughts on that, Jim?
24-hour rule. Kind of just let it simmer. Be encouraging is what I would say. Even a win, a loss, if your kid made a mistake that leads to the, game-winning goal or whatever, he or she does not want to hear about that, I don't think, from mom and dad.
Yeah.
So, I would always give it a little time to simmer. I let Gavin pick the music on the way home, whatever he wants to do. We don't really talk too much. If they do have, just in me personally, if Gavin has questions, sure, if he wants to talk about it, I will. But I kind of feel like, especially as they get older, the players know what's going on in the game. Be encouraging. I do have a thing I do with Gavin, and I have it suggested to other parents, and it's called one thing. Just one thing.
Okay.
So you got off of practice, and you notice that your player maybe missed an assignment in the defensive zone. Hey, bud, just pay attention to the left winger in the defensive zone, do a shoulder check, blah, 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 and then done. I call it the one thing. Now, being a coach, maybe it's a little different. Like, if a parent doesn't know much about hockey, just maybe don't say anything unless the kid brings it up. And I always say, good game. As long as your player's putting in effort, then I don't really think there's any reason to, bring anything up at all like that. It's just because, as a parent, don't you want your kid to just put in effort? Because if they're putting in full effort, good things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's tough. It can go either way. I do know, I've heard in the past about, parents just berating their kids and screaming on the way home because they made a mistake. That's going to make your player not want to play hockey, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's a tough one.
So, yeah, like for me, for me, it's more like the dropping phones. I love it, Jim. I love it, Jim. It's okay. That's what's beautiful about a podcast. You can't see all the background, stuff, but he's obviously allergic to something in my office.
No, I ate a cereal bar on the way over here and a piece got stuck in my throat.
Sorry about that, guys. So, what's really interesting, though, Jim, is like, I have a kid that, and hopefully parents can relate to this, too. When he was in peewee travel, he never did squirts or mites.
Started late.
Yeah, he started late. But he would be so mad after a win. And I'd be like, what's it? I didn't have the one thing rule, mm-hmm. which I, you know what, parents, think about that. The one thing.
It could be a good thing, too. It should be a good thing, honestly. Like, yeah, I like the way you moved your feet today.
But just know that if you've already established that agreement with your child, like, listen, as a parent, I'm going to say the one thing, and I'm going to say it and get it off my chest and move on, right? Right. So for me, I didn't have the one thing. I probably had the 40 things, you know? So he would get off the ice, and I'd sit there, and I'd be like, what are you so mad about, dude? Like, you played a great game.
And you won.
No, I didn't play a great game. I played really bad, and I go, did you give up any goals? He's like, well, no. Well, then you played a great game.
Sure.
And I think, and I, let us know, you know, hit us up at info@vegasringside.com. info@vegasringside.com. Hit us up because let us know some of the struggles that maybe you guys are having, especially in the 8, 9, 10, mm-hmm. 11, 12 years of age. Maybe, you know, it kind of cleaned up a little bit once he transitioned into 14.
Right.
Or second half of Pee Wee cleaned up a little bit where he wasn't so frustrated. You know, I don't know about your children, but my child and both actually have this idea of how to play, though they've never really played
right.
hockey. But they have this great grandiose idea of this player, or that player, or I should play like this or that. And I'm just like, can you just enjoy, like, you know, like Brandon, even today. Not today physically, but like last night in mm-hmm. practice, he'd come off and say, hey, how'd it go? What do you think? He goes, my practice was, you know, kind of crappy or whatever.
Yeah, Gavin said the same thing. He must have had a terrible practice last night.
Oh, he was dropping some, some bombs out there.
If you mine? Know. Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah. He was a little frustrated.
Okay.
But that's okay, you know.
Shows they care, right?
It does. And here's the other thing, and this is what I was getting at with Brandon. It's like, hey, bud, it's practice. That's where you want to mess up. If you're going to mess up, that's where it needs to happen.
Sure.
You don't really want that to happen in a game. Like, if you're trying to learn a play or cut into the corner or carry the puck out or you trip and slip and you realize your blades are not sharp.
Right.
I'd rather see that happening in a practice than... Mm-hmm. I feel like Iverson. Next time I'm going to cut in Iverson. Practice.
Talking about practice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because for us, for the kids, it's just like a golfer, right? You take 1,000 swings. It's called, you know, the muscle memory. Mm-hmm. You know, these kids are putting in the muscle memory work.
Right.
The crossovers, the hand movement.
Shoulder checks,
like everything. It's all muscle memory sure. right now while they understand and learn concepts. Mm-hmm. And then you want to repeat and repeat and rinse and repeat and rinse and repeat. So if you guys are having any of those struggles, let us know. We definitely want to make sure we ask those questions on the podcast, and especially if we're going to have this master class scenario.
Yeah.
We definitely want to bring those questions up.
Yeah. I'd like to, you know, when we get maybe Wally back or Matt or Dustin or whoever it may be to talk about the mental side of the game.
Yeah.
Because that's a really big thing. Like, you know, like you said, kids are frustrated. My kid's dropping bombs out there last night. By the time he got home.
You didn't hear from me though.
That's fine. It's not like it's the first time it would happen or whatever. I do like my son's passion for the game. So if he gets a little frustrated and stuff, but by the time I got home last night, it wasn't too long after they got back from practice.
Yeah.
He was good with it. Like, it's, you know, he was angry at the time, but he let it go, which
yeah.
has been a struggle for him in the past. Last year, beginning of the season, playing well, but not happy with his own play, and kind of like would come off the ice and maybe like just put his head down and bang a stick only for a second. Mm-hmm. Credit to Coach Dustin and Coach Pete to bring him out of that and say, hey man, it's like, so what? You made a mistake. Settle down, get out there and do it again, which is something we had to work on. And we actually had to, I went online and found some techniques, to help him release that anger right away. As it may be, it was kind of a really funny one. Like, it's simple. Squeeze your stick, breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth as you let your hands relax. And I'm like, oh, that sounds kind of silly. But I did it, even without a stick. Like, just to, you clench your hands as tough as you can and breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, and let it go. And it's kind of amazing that you can feel it coming, you know, your anger dissipating and things like that. So, you know, the mental side of the game is huge, and I'd love to get some kind of expert on that onto this podcast, because, you know, on the ice, physical stuff, working out, that's not all the game. Mental is a huge part of the game. You have to be mentally tough to be a good hockey player.
Well, you know, and if you're listening and want to just put in your two cents, but you don't necessarily want to get on the podcast, mm-hmm. You know, and you definitely want to put on your two cents. You can be a ghostwriter.
Absolutely.
Right? Because right now, all we've got is, I guess that's crickets. There. So we need some help, people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I agree. I think there's a time and a place to have those conversations, and there's a opportunity for improvement. But I agree with you. Definitely waiting like to the next day, or the 24-hour rule, mm-hmm. You know, which is what we've mentioned here on previous podcasts, just even talking with the coaches and stuff.
Right.
But I do know this, the kids do need to still watch hockey.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, there's some really good hockey that's being played here in Las Vegas.
There is.
One of the teams is called Henderson Force. I don't know if you guys know this, but they're playing out of the America First Center.
They are. I did happen to catch both of their games this past weekend. Decent crowd for both games. I'd say probably 120 on the first game, maybe about 95 on the second game.
Okay.
Boisterous crowd. It's fun hockey. It's physical. Lots of hits. A couple of fights here and there.
Ooh.
Yeah, good goaltending. Very intense hockey. So, and it's free. So, okay. You know, you don't want to pay to go see Silver Knights or Golden Knights or whatever, UNLV or whatever it may be. Great hockey to come see for free at the America First Center. Coach Matt Johnson's a fantastic coach. He's getting those boys together. So I would suggest, and there was the 13U VGK travel team made it a point. The whole team came to watch the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, okay. Those kids not only cheering for, you know, a local team, but seeing kids that are five, six, seven, 8 years older and what the goals may be to get to that point. It's really good. It's good to see. So I would highly suggest to come see that.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that those kids, you say 5, 6 years, they're really not that far off, right?
13-year-olds to 17. Yeah, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. It's pretty dang close. Oh, so yeah. If you want to
fast too. Yeah. Isn't it?
And if you want to see something more like, you know, cause it's the United States Premier Hockey League, USPHL, right. It's a premier, it's a tier three team,
junior
team. But that's more of like a realistic experience, like seeing the type of kids that are out there that are battling. Some of these kids have just gotten out of high school, really.
Most of them, honestly. Yeah. It's that in between to try and get onto a college team. You know, because when you're done at 19 with junior hockey. Maybe you turn 20 during the season if you're an overager, which I did when I was a kid.
Oh, you're overager, huh?
Yeah, I did an overager. but yeah, like I said, it's a goal, you know, and those kids are trying to get keep their hockey career going, whether it be junior college, NCAA, ACHA, whatever it may be. It keeps you playing and gives you another shot to get into college. So, you know, good to see all those players. I do know a few of them. They had a crazy weekend, honestly.
Yeah, well, they won 2-3, I believe.
On the weekend?
Yeah.
1-1.
Oh, they only played two games?
Only 2 games, yeah.
But they played remember the home and home?
I think they go to Ventura this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, unless they did travel out to Ventura on Sunday.
So the 18th was, so they played 3 games, 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Hmm.
That's okay. And America the first, home America and home, first. Which was on 12.
Okay, so yeah, they did, I gotcha.
So I believe they went 2-1, I thought they went 2-1. I thought they had a couple of wins, one loss. I'm looking at the schedule, but unfortunately I don't see the scores. What am I clicking on? Anywhere?
No, I'm just looking. 18, 19, and 20.
Yeah. Okay. That was this past weekend.
I missed that third game.
Probably the third game because it was at 12 noon. Okay, I saw something on Instagram. Yeah. Listen, if you want to follow them on Instagram, you know, Henderson Forest, they do post periodically their scores, their game scores. But if you don't feel like going down to America First Center, let's say that you're living in Summerlin, but you want to follow the United States Premier Hockey League, you can check out all season long on Flow Hockey.
Flow Hockey.
And what's really nice is you'll get to hear the broadcaster for the Henderson Force, which is Ken Rubino.
Nice.
And he is doing a great job there. I mean, I do our announcing, so I'm a little...
And you do a great job.
I'm a little jelly, but that's okay. That means jealous for the adults out there. I'm pretty proud of him to see it. I remember when we were coming together, when his kid was on Storm, like our kids played together at one point.
Right.
You know, he wanted to, then we kind of separated. I was doing my team. He ended up doing his team as far as the announcing goes. And he's been doing a great job. It's his passion. It's his love of the game. Ken Rubino, he's my number one star for this past week. Okay. Weekend, actually.
Nice.
So proud of him. So if you were going to watch. Ken,
proud of Summer. Proud of you.
Yeah.
Ron's being modest. He does a great job. And if you want to check out Ron this weekend, coming up, 5 games in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
On Twitch at Scully7. You'll get to see, you know, the 15 AAA team out there in Boston playing against all those chowder heads out there. And you'll get to hear Ron, and you can make your own decision. I think he's awesome, and I think you will, too.
Oh, you are too nice. Too nice.
I'll be watching.
So they've got, so Henderson Force has a couple of games coming up here on October 25th and 26th. They're going to be on the road at Iron Country Yeti at the KJ's Ice Barn, and then on the road again to play the Ontario Reign. You're wondering, like I am right now, that when are they going to be back? When are we going to be able to, if I want to check out the game, I don't want to go to Flow Hockey. I think that's a subscription. Anyways, I don't think it's free. But nevertheless, if you wanted to really check out the game at America First Center, Rink 1, November 1st at 7:30 p.m. So they've got a couple of games, November 1st, November 2nd. So they'll be back. They actually have a bunch of home games coming up over the next couple of weeks. So over the weekend of November 1st and 2nd, it's the Iron Country Yeti. And then over the 8th, 9th, and 10th, it's the Bakersfield Roughnecks. And actually, to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure that's a tough matchup anyways.
Oh, for sure. Every game in this league is a tough matchup. Like I said, from talking to Coach Matt, the Junior Reign was, I believe, the top team last year. And then whoever they played first out in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, yeah.
Those were the 1 and 2
teams.
The Lake Tahoe Lakers. So that was the 1 and 2 finishers last year, Lake Tahoe and Ontario. And I believe they started their season against both of those teams. Did pretty well. And then, like I said, this series with the Ventura Vikings was pretty intense. 6-1 win in the first game that I did watch for the Force. Second game, they were down 4-0 after the first.
I think they came back, though, but I think that's the game they lost, right? 6-5?
They did lose 6-5. They were down 4-0. They were down 5-1. When they were down 4-0, good job by Coach Matt. Called a timeout, made a goalie switch, changed the momentum of the game, got all the way back into overtime, had a couple glorious chances in overtime, I believe, hit a post, had a breakaway, then lost 1-0 in the shootout. Last shooter for Ventura managed to put one in. So great comeback. I'm sure they would have been super happy to finish it off, but you know, it's encouraging to get that comeback when you're down 4-0 in the first period. So good job by Coach Matt and those boys.
So you know, not only do you have the junior team out here, tier 3, you also have the college team, University of Nevada. I guess at Las Vegas, UNLV.
University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
There you go. And they had a couple of really good games over the weekend, October 11th and 12th. They crushed University of Oregon. 6-0, 16-0.
16-0. Wow. Filling up the stat sheet.
I love it.
The boys love that game. You're getting lots of points on the board.
You know what's interesting? They ended up playing ASU. Now, ASU has a couple of... They have a D1 team.
A great D1 team. Probably the best D1 team on the West Coast.
And then they have other levels of ASU hockey.
Tier 1 club is what this is.
Is that what this is? Okay.
This is D1 club, tier 1 club, whatever you want to call it. I know that UNLV and Arizona State are two of the top 10 D1 club teams in the country. So great matchups there for sure.
So they ended up going to Arizona, losing 6-2, and then come bounce back on the 19th and beat them 5-2. So great job for UNLV. But some of the games, I'm like, some of the games coming up, but it goes from October. I don't even see any November stuff. Do you? Let's see. Yep. I'm too, yeah.
There you go. Nope,
no, it's all 23.
Come on, UNLV website. What do we got going on?
I know, right? What do we got going on? So,
and even the upcoming game show is nothing.
I know, right?
We'll figure it out.
But I do know this. UNLV did play October 5th and 6th, losing both to Linderwood University. And that is an NCAA D1.
Okay, so that's a team. That's an actual Division I team, which there's only 64 of those in the country. So, you know, they actually stayed pretty well with them. A couple of losses, but
5-1-6-3.
You're talking about a club team against one of the one of the only 64 Division I teams in the country, and not really sure where they're based out of. But was actually looking into this the other day, just out of curiosity. Only 4 D1 NCAA teams on the West Coast.
Really?
Yeah, Arizona State, Air Force Academy, Anchorage, Alaska, and Anchorage Fairbanks. That's it. Only 4 Division I teams on the West Coast. So, you know, that D1 club is out here on the West Coast is top-notch hockey out here for sure.
Well, I do have the schedule.
There it is.
I figured it out. UNLV's coming up October 24th and 25th. They're going to be on the road playing University of Arizona. 2 games set. And then they're going to come home October 1st and 2nd and play University of Colorado Boulder.
Ooh, that should be fun.
That should be a fun one.
Absolutely.
They follow back up in about 2 weeks playing Utah University. I'm looking here because I was told that they would play. There it is. So December 28th, 2024. They're going to be playing University of Nevada, or UNLV is going to be on the road at Magnus Arena in DU. You know, my wife's from Denver.
Oh, I did not know that.
And I said DU, but it's University of Denver. It should be UD.
Should be.
But no, they say it's DU. But they are actually going to play D1, a couple of D1 colleges, October or December 28th and 29th. So mark your calendars, folks. That should be a really good opportunity for a club team to go out and battle some D1. That would make it their 3rd and 4th D1 games.
I want to say that Denver is ranked number 1 right now.
Yeah, they're up. Well, they won it all last year.
They did. And I want to say they're at least top 5. I know I did look recently at that, and I think they were number one at one point in the year. So that's going to be a challenge, huh?
Yeah. And then they go, and I've been to that rink. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I've been there as well.
And then they're going to go to the Ed Robeson Arena to play the Colorado College, which is also an NCAA D1.
Oh, yeah, and they're also a top 20 every year, Colorado College. So, that's going to be a tough weekend for them.
And
see what they can do against those literally top-ranked college teams in the country.
In the country, folks. So I'm really proud of UNLV. I love to get their head coach on here.
Sure.
Right?
That'd be great, right? He's a really nice guy, actually.
Is he?
If I see him, maybe I'll...
Hit him up.
I'll hit him up. I'll see what I can do.
At VegasRinkside.com. Info at VegasRinkside.com. So, again, we are just trying to get some information out to you guys. We're talking a little bit about our kids, some of the frustrations that we're seeing. Obviously, we're hearing a little bit of parents' issues out in Utica. At the end of the day, we are looking for an opportunity to grow the podcast. Like I said, we've got the coaches... master class. So if you're interested, I think Dustin wants to get on
for sure.
Okay,
definitely going to get a quote from him, a little bit of audio, even if we don't do a full one right away. There, that team, the 13U AAA Junior Golden Knights, is headed out to Toronto this weekend, and they are playing. I believe all 4 teams they're playing are ranked in the top 15 in Canada.
Wow,
going to be a crazy schedule. Actually, 3 in Canada, 1. One of them is the Junior Kings, which is a top 10 U.S. team for that age group. So, you know, I was talking to Dustin actually last night. I said, what do you do? You know, and like I said, we've coached together. You know, he knows that talent-wise, they're probably going to be outmatched. Kids who have been playing together forever, Canadian kids, probably, you know, they came out of the womb wearing skates and went right to the pond and started playing together. So I said, Dustin, you know, what are we doing? And I kind of knew the answer. And, you know, basically you kind of take away structure is going to be a little bit different. So defensive zone, I know he's been working on it all week, and it's something we did last year, collapse everybody in front of the net, try and limit chances from the slot and in front of the net and keep everything to the outside because he does have good goaltending and pretty good defense. And an interesting strategy you know, assuming what we think the talent discrepancy will be, kind of taking the breakout out of it. And just, if you got the puck, you take a quick look. If you don't see anybody, high and hard off the glass. If it winds up being icing, oh well. If it winds up, you know, hopefully you catch a bounce maybe and catch a breakaway. He's got a few fast kids on the team. So, yeah, you know, he's adjusting his systems to the teams that he's going to be playing this weekend. And it's got to be tough knowing, you know, you're going into this tournament knowing that you're outgunned. So, you know, it's Dustin and Pete spending a whole time this week, all their practices this week on basically just, it's not really survival mode, but kind of, you know, adjusting your system to, you know, playing against a better team. So I'm really interested seeing what happens in those games out there this weekend, and did talk to Dustin last night. He's going to give me a little bit of time, maybe 5 and 10 minutes or so. And then we're obviously more than happy to have Dustin on our coaching masterclass. So
yeah, you know, love
talk. He did win a national title a couple of years ago. So it'd be interesting to hear stories about that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, it's like, We've got all these things, but we also put a poll out there on Facebook, Vegas Ringside Rundown. I'm not going to close the poll yet. I think you could still vote on it. I think it's open indefinitely until I actually make a decision. So right now we have 9 votes. I need more than just 9 people, please.
9? Come on, guys.
So if you're,
there's way more people than listening than 9. So come on, get out there and tell us what to do.
Yeah, Vegas Ringside Rundown is a group page. We've got about 120 members in there. Go ahead and jump onto that group page. Look, scroll down, look for that poll. The poll's being asked. Yeah, I just need your feedback. It's important. Keep the Across the Ice segment as part of the main Vegas Ringside Rundown podcast, which is every Thursday. Though today's Tuesday, but we will be posting on Thursday as you're listening to this, or create a standalone podcast. Just a quick, brief, like 30 minutes. We just run through the scores, move on, and you guys get to hear that. But I kind of still want to keep it as part of the podcast right now, only because I need you guys to come in and listen, right? Like, it's important. For sure. I can't have you just listen to scores and then bounce.
It seems like most of the time when we're talking about the scores, we get onto other stuff too, you know, to kind of bounce off of that and gives us something to talk about. So, you know, if the crowd wants a separate podcast just for the scores, then I guess we got to do what the audience wants, right?
Well, yes, but I need more than 9.
More than 9.
So it's right. I think it's like 2 for no and 7 for it's like 88% right now for standalone. But I want more. Can you guys get out there, share, like, follow, get us some movement on the Vegas Ringside Rundown podcast for Facebook, Instagram, and of course X. I think it's Nick. Is it Nick Rabone?
Nick Rabone, yeah.
He is the head coach, right?
Yep.
So, Nick, if you're listening, I'm not sure if you are, but we are proud of your team. You want to come on to the podcast? We'd love to get you in for part of the masterclass series.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, you're taking on kids that are coming out of maybe the USPHL or maybe not. I'm not sure where you're grabbing your kids, but Tell us a little bit more about it. You know, do you have an athletic director? I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
But but who's doing the recruiting? Like, where do you have to go to find kids that want to come to UNLV? But what's really cool is that the team is getting notoriety. It is a hard-fought battle this team is doing. I am just proud to say that, you know, it's nice to have hockey in the desert.
Absolutely.
I know that I got corrected by Wally. I know that I did because I said, you know, it's relatively new hockey. Yes, it is new in the sense of professional teams.
Right.
Like,
and popular
NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
UNLV.
Right.
Right. I mean, they were roller.
Right.
Like, years ago, they were roller. I totally get the history, and you know, one day we're going to deep dive in on the history of hockey 100%. And UNLV Nevada, because, you know, that's important to hear your, you know, your history and where you came from and how far you're going. And of course, with VegasRingside.com, our website, we're building it out now, Jim. I don't know if you know this, but we're building it out. We're looking to try to get more people to follow on X, because what we want to do is hashtag Vegas. I think it's called Vegas. I will tell you. I think it's called Vegas Ringside Report.
Okay.
Vegas Ringside Report. So what I'm hoping the idea is, Jim, and if you guys have any comments on that, let me know. But if you're, let's say that you guys, your kids are using X and they're on X and they want to like chirp a little bit, like say, hey, we just got done playing a really tough game against this team. Hashtag Vegas Ringside Report. Guess where that goes, Jim?
Right to the website.
Right to the website. Hey. And what we're hoping to do is if you're putting in scores, that it will actually have that, those scores will be uploaded so we can all see it. Because at the end of the day, I'd like to see the House League do it.
Absolutely.
I'd like to see travel teams do it. Heck, I'd love to see Vegas Rink Report. I'll have to get clarification from Nate Scully out there because he's the one helping and getting this developed. Where if you're putting in the scores and you just hashtag us, we'll see it. And right. then we can pull that information in. And then what's going to be really good, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, right? This is, you know, big picture here, is that you have one place to go to see House League team scores, games, travel scores, games, UNLV score games. Like, they have their own website. Of course, we want to make sure that they're, that people are going to their website.
Right.
But if you're just trying to look a big comparison, big picture, maybe you want to see how the House League teams are doing over at LVIC.
Right.
And then your kid's playing at CNA, or maybe you're at Hilo and you want to see the House League teams playing over at America First, or maybe you just want to follow the elevated, higher-level House League teams that are actually playing in local tournaments. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get that information into the podcast. So
one-stop shopping for all your scores?
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, that's the goal, folks. So if you have any ideas or you feel like you can help with this, yeah, reach us out, info@vegasringside.com. Jim, we're getting close to the end of this podcast. Anything else you want to add to the podcast?
I just want to tell you, Ron, to have a wonderful time in Boston. It's going to be a little family vacation for you. Everybody's going, right?
Everyone.
You're going to have a wonderful time. Good luck to all the teams playing this weekend. I know there's a lot more teams going out there this weekend. Warriors, Storm Parents, if you're out there listening, hit us up and give us your scores. We don't want to be Knight-centric. We keep saying this every podcast.
Yep.
Luckily that we know a bunch of coaches and families and managers from the Knights, but we do want to get everybody on there, whether it's the House League, the Warriors, the Storm, the Knights, whatever it is. The more content you give us, the more you get to listen to us talk about it. So
absolutely.
If you like our voices,
yeah. Hit us up. Brooks family, hit us up. info@vegasringside.com. Well, this is Ron.
I'm Jim.
And we're out.
You've been listening to Vegas Ringside Rundown with your hosts, Jim and Ron. You can check out their website at www.vegasringside.com. Email them at info@vegasringside.com or check out Vegas Ringside Rundown on X, Instagram, or Facebook.